I wrote Dennis Reed and thanked him last week for such a good sermon representing Thornwell and spelling out the great urgency of what they face really as one of the missions of our church. And I read during the week, again, the number of missions that we're still trying to strengthen internationally and nationally. And there was a letter from the General Assembly about our Christians in Syria. And talk about losing your heads for Christ. This is tragic. It's tragic. And these thugs really are convinced that they're doing it for faith. And we know better. Because I don't know about you, but if you have a faith and you believe in God, you're not going to be going around walking people's heads off. And our missions are suffering. And they were reminding us in this email that we need to pray for not just our surviving missionaries in Pakistan, Afghanistan, wherever they are, but to keep praying for them, that God will watch over and bless them in what they're doing and not to lose their zest for serving. And I thought it was interesting they used that word, which a friend of mine used, that I mentioned to you. I talked to people during the week, and they all say, well, I'm going to be more aware of my prayer making and my prayer keeping during Lent. I'm going to be more generous during Lent for people in need. I'm going to try to be a better person during Lent. Why don't you do all this during the year? Why just keep it during Lent? And what I said to the kids about trust, that's one of the great key factors when we talk about the beginning of Lent. The beginning of Lent has a lot of meanings, and one of them is trust. Trusting in God in a way that you're not going to get so frustrated and burn out by life itself, that you really want to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the lesson we're reading is really Noah. But you know, the stories in the Old Testament are aimed for something. They're not aimed to give you facts. As one rabbi told me, they're aimed to give you a course of action for your life. I like that. Because if you use it for facts, you lose the purpose. You lose the direction. It's like this fellow that started a dinosaur land or creation land as an entertainment media in Kentucky with pictures of Jesus riding dinosaurs. You know, and showing dinosaurs going on the ark. He's built an ark. And I don't think the dinosaurs went on the ark. If not, I wouldn't want to do the cleanup work. I'm serious. And, you know, let's be serious for a minute. The stories of the Old Testament are epic trust stories that are woven in such a way that you could listen around the campfire and say how wonderful that is, not how factual it becomes. And that's the fact. And that's Lent. And we've garbled a lot of things in our faith. And you've heard people, and I know, if I'm insulting you, you know, good. I'm old enough to do that. But sometimes we garble our faith. I heard this one guy this week who was criticizing the Pope for not being Christian enough. I thought, okay, that's all right. I'm hearing things. And I heard the son of a famous preacher, say the most gosh-awful, hate-filled stuff I've ever heard anybody say using Scripture. This is not what it's about. This is not what it's about. And if it is, they're off track. Open your Bibles to Genesis. Let's plug through Noah again. This is fun because when we talk about that, we talk about trust. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I'll see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So, God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth. Now, the flood was over, the freedom was there, they got off the ark, life was going to begin, boom. The story in between, if you're in a synagogue and the rabbi is talking to you, he's talking to you about that covenant. Not the ark, not the flood, not the animals. He's talking about the covenant that God established between all life. It's a good thought for Lent, because Lent comes from the old English word meaning to lengthen. And to lengthen and refers to the lengthening of days that begins in spring. Lent is that word that the church adopted from that to say, well, from now until Easter, we've got to think about spiritual things. We've got to think about covenant things that really matter between me and God. Our ancestors used it as a reminder, just as we experience new life in the spring, we should also consider our own life, our own death, and the eternal life promised to us in Jesus Christ, based on our relationship with Almighty God. That's the covenant we're talking about. That's the important key that really should strike us. Our ancestors established ways for common folks like us to read and understand the Bible. Beyond pictures, they finally decided to write and we could read. And a lectionary was created. And the first lectionaries that came. And you know what lectionaries are? They're just lessons that are there. And for those of you that are acquainted with our Presbyterian calendar, the lectionary has scriptures, and there's an Old Testament, and there's a New Testament, and there's an epistle, and there's three or four other things that all tie in that you're supposed to be preaching. Actually, if I were doing the Church of Scotland, and I were with you, and you came to our church in Edinburgh, I'd be reading three lessons. Because that's part of what it's all about. Something from the Psalms, something from the Old Testament. Notice the two differences. Psalms, Old Testament. and the New Testament, and occasionally the epistle. And then a 45-minute sermon, and you'd be ready to go home renewed and refreshed, mainly because you slept through the sermon. The first lectionary lesson that was for this particular Sunday is what I read to you from Genesis. You see, we go from the creation story of Adam and Eve and all of that that went on. Story. We go through Noah, and we see betrayal, and we see trust, and we see love, and we see forgiveness, all in all in all. Every one of these stories. We move from all of these events to this ninth chapter. And we see trust is the key word, and it's blown apart from mistrust. It talks about all kinds of sin and leading into this that brought about that terrible flood. Because God's covenant had to prevail some way. And finally, God chose Noah to build an ark. And you know the story. And it goes from there. And we could go and manufacture it into an entertainment theme. Makes a great movie. But when you lose sight of the purpose, when you get caught in the trivia, the details, you miss the power and the majesty of what that story really is telling us about God's covenant with humanity. A covenant is a contractual agreement between two parties. And usually within a covenant, there are stipulations that must be followed. They must be kept, and they're spelled out, usually very clearly. And if we look at the eight verses that were here, and we come to verse 9, we find that God is finally telling Noah, all of this that happened for a purpose. I'm making a covenant with you and with all humankind. And he uses the rainbow as the signature of that covenant. I remember when I was a kid and my grandmother would tell me about the rainbow. That's God telling us everything's okay. Wow. Now, for a non-theological education background, she made a marvelous insight, my dear friends, because that's what it says in Scripture. Every time you see a covenant, you see I'm making that rainbow signature for you. It's not the story. It's the end result. And God is beginning right now with Noah and his sons to rebuild a trust between humankind. That's the story. And again, if I were in the synagogue, I'd point out to you that God is still reestablishing that trust with us. And I wouldn't talk about the ark and the flood. And I'd talk about the covenant. Are you keeping it? Are you abiding in the covenant that God has made? Do you trust God? How do we rebuild trust in our lives? That's the key question. When there's an absence of trust in the life of anything, a nation or a church or a people, when there is absence of trust, the beginning of rebuilding really begins with someone willing to take a first step, to be vulnerable in the relationship, to say, I'm sorry. To say, I love you. To say, I forgive. This is the story and the power of Noah. In a way, God starts the epic of creation all over again. Did you notice the ending of this? It's like the garden all over again. Well, it's been ended. Now we can start anew. And every time you see the rainbow, you know I'm renewing my covenant and my love and my trust. You look at that rainbow with a whole new image. And don't think about yesterday. Look forward to tomorrow. Wow. That's faith. I've been thinking about that when I look about our country and our world and all the disaster that's going on with it and the abuse of Scripture that goes on with it. Not that I'm the perfect theologian. I wish I were. But I know abuse and I know falsehood. And I know cheap talk. And I know stupid thinking. And I thank God for the journey that I've gone through in my own life. What kind of contract do I need to put in place in my own life to rebuild trust with people the same as God rebuilt trust with Noah in this story? God's calling us to a new rainbow, I believe, like never before. The question is, when I look at this story again, then am I willing to invite God into my life in such a purposeful way? Am I really willing to listen to where God wants to lead me? And to my friend that lost the zest for prayer, am I going to have a zest for serving Christ? So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth." Can I co-sign that covenant? That's your question. God our Father, we're grateful that you give us the Spirit of Christ and you give us the Spirit of hope and change and challenge. Thank you for giving us the epic adventure of Noah. Because in our mind, we too are like this. Challenge us. Help us to serve you through Christ. Amen.